Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Book of Mark, Mark chapter 4. And as you are turning there, for all of you that you'd like to follow me, you can go to our TPC app, click on the app, and then I believe it says like on Sundays, I think. You can click on that, and then you can go to my notes, and there will be scriptures in there, as well as you can go and fill in the blanks as I preach. So if you would like to do that, you're more than welcome to follow along. Here's just a little bit of humor to hopefully make you smile. There was an older lady, and she got caught shoplifting. And on the court date, she and her husband stood before the judge, and the judge asked her, he said, "What did you shoplift?" And she said, "Well," she said, I shoplift a can of peaches." And he said, "Well, why did you do that?" She said, "Well, I was hungry." And so he was kind of trying to figure out how he was going to, you know, give a sentence here. And he said, "Well, how many peaches did you eat?" And she said, "Well, I ate 6 peaches." And he said, "Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you 1 day in jail for each peach that you ate." He said, "Everybody's mind's clear. Everybody's good." He said, "Anybody else have anything to say?" And the husband, he said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Your Honor, she ate a can of peas, too." All right, Mark chapter 4, and let's look at verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 40, but he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Father, I just pray for the next few minutes that you would just take your word and let our hearts be open to receive, so that in this day and hour in which we live, our hearts would not be fastened upon problems, but that our mind would be fastened upon you. Lord, I just pray for the next few minutes, anoint our mind and anoint our mouth. And I thank you for your people in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. You know, here lately, it seems like everywhere we turn, there are problems. Just last week, Janet and I heard news about a friend of ours. He is in ministry and his wife took her own life. It was devastating to say the least. And when I just look around, I'm sure that you're with me. You hear about people having problems in their marriage, people having problems on their job, people having problems in their finances, people taking their own life, and yet they're Christians. And you think, "Oh my Lord, this is really not good." And you know, I looked in the Word of God and I was reminded in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times will come." And I got to thinking, how are we, the people of God, how are we going to handle, as we get more and more into the last days, how are we going to handle the problems that we hear about and the problems that we see? and the things going on, not only in our families, but things going on in our friends' lives and in people's lives that are connected to us. I'm going to be transparent with you this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. I am really concerned about our mental health. That is a concern of mine, is being concerned about Christians' mental health. You say, why? Because here's what I know. Our body can be in good shape, but our mind can be in a turmoil. Here's what I also know. You can be sitting here physically in your body and your mind be trying to solve a problem even while I'm speaking. So your body can be in good health, but your mind can be in turmoil, being very concerned about my friend's problem, my church's problem, my daughter's problem. And our mind just stays in a turmoil because the enemy is coming after your mind. Can I get a witness? The enemy is after your mind. He doesn't care if you go to the gym and work out and you got a, you know, a body that is toned. He don't care about that. What he does care about is the state of your mind. He wants to keep you dwelt upon problems. He wants to keep you dwelt upon the things that are going around you. He wants your mind to stay in a flux and like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Because if our mind is not right, then our life won't be right. Can I get a witness? So make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. The enemy is wanting to try to steal, kill, and destroy our joy and our peace. But somehow we cannot allow all the problems that we are hearing about on the news, seeing in our family and in our friends. Somehow we cannot allow these problems to crush our spirit. We've got to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So the question is not, will we have storms? The scripture tells us that man is born a few days, but he has trouble. So the question is not, as we as Christians, will we have storms? That's not the question. The question is, what are we going to do to equip ourselves for perilous times? See, I've learned that it's not so much what happens to me as what happens in me. Can I say it again? It's not so much what is happening around me and what I am seeing as much as what happens in me. And our text here this morning illustrates this so very well. There's one storm, but there's two different total reactions. One storm, but people respond to this storm totally different. The disciples, on one hand, had major worries because they're looking at all the waves. Jesus, on the other side, the Bible says he was in the bow of the boat or the stern of the boat asleep on a pillow. If you were living in De Quincey just 3 or 4 nights ago, then you know a major storm rode through. And I was in our house and it was just myself. My family was gone and we don't have curtains on the back doors or the front doors of our house. And so that lightning was just lighting up our living room like a Christmas tree. And we have a dog named Valentine, and Valentine hates storms. Now, I like dogs, but I don't love dogs. But during this storm and when it storms, Valentine doesn't care that I don't love her. She's jumping up in my lap and she is shaking like a leaf. I mean, she's literally shaking. And I got to thinking, you know what? This dog has never been struck by lightning. Don't say this, but it wouldn't be a bad idea. Just joking. We have never left that dog out in a storm. Never, one time. But yet, she just sits there and shakes. And she has a little bed that's under a little piece of furniture that we have at the end of our bed. So I got her all calmed down, got her in that little bed, and 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm feeling something and it ain't Janet. I'm like, what is going on? And here's this dog, I'm not exaggerating, she's just shaking. I'm like, Valentine, sis, it's okay. You're all right. I just got to thinking about that. You know what? Most of us have never been struck by lightning, and our parents never, for the most part, probably made us stay out in the storm. So why do storms make us shake? It's because we think about what could happen. We think about what this storm could do and what could happen if it hit our house. And we get to thinking about all kinds of things. What if a tree comes through? And what if this happens? And what if that happens? And brothers and sisters, can I tell you this? Storms have a way of shaking us to our very core. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4 and verse 37, it says, and the waves beat into the boat. The New King James Version says, and it was filling up. The King James Version says, and the boat was full. See, the disciples had a problem because they were thinking about what could happen. It hadn't happened yet, but what could happen. And Jesus was on a pillow. I think this is so neat that the only place in the entire New Testament that a pillow is mentioned is in connection with the storm. It's not mentioned any other time in the New Testament. It is in the Old, but not in the New. So how could Jesus be asleep on a pillow in the middle of a storm? That's what I want to talk about today. How can we have peace in our problems and have so much peace that even though we hear about it, see about it, listen to it on the news, we're still able not to focus on our problems, but rather we're able to rest on our pillow? How can I do that, Pastor? Well, here's what Philippians 4 and 7 says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you have peace and you study that word out, guard, it means like a garrison, a force, an army that is surrounding you. When you have the peace of God, you just understand, come what may, God's got me. And I'm going to have a peace that will surpass people's understanding. And they look at you and they're like, you're going through this and how can you be so calm? What is it about you that you're not going crazy? How come you're not popping pills every hour? Because if I were you, I'd lose my mind. Well, you say, you know what? I'm just keeping my mind stayed upon him. And there is a peace that God gives me that surpasses human wisdom and human knowledge. Come on, somebody. I'm just not going to allow this storm to get me all in a tether. See, to sleep in a storm, brothers and sisters, requires the peace of God. It is the peace of God. Say the peace of God. It is the peace of God that's going to guard your heart and it's going to guard your mind. See, Jesus told them this in Mark 4 and 35. He said, let us cross over to the other side. He gave them a word. And as we see more and more things happening around us, we have a choice, ladies and gentlemen. Christians, I hope you give me your heart this morning and your mind. I want to place something in there. I want to place a seed in there that I believe can help you in perilous times. We have a choice, and that is, are we going to meditate on the waves and worry about it? Are we going to meditate on His Word and rest? Are we going to meditate on everything that is going around us and what's the president going to do? What's our government going to do? What's my job going to do? What's my health going to do? What are my friends going to do? And we're going to meditate on that. Are we going to meditate on the Word? It's amazing to me that we try to control things that we cannot control and we don't control the thing that we can. What do you mean by that? We cannot control people. People are going to do what people want to do, and you're trying to control them, and you're getting yourself all up in a tether trying to control them instead of controlling the one thing that you can, and that is your mind. You can look at them and say, look, this is what I'd love for you to do, but if you don't do it, I'm going to keep my mind in peace. If that's your choice, then so be it, but I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay focused on God and what God has for me. If that's what you want to do, then you're welcome to it. Does that make sense? See, the one thing that we can control is our mind, and we don't control it. We don't do a very good job of it. The Bible says casting down every vain imagination that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I've been walking down the street and said out loud, no, I won't think that. No, I'm not going to let my mind go there. Why? Because then I just start going downhill. Because I start looking at the problems and then I start worrying about the waves instead of meditating on the Word and what God has in store for us. Here's what Philippians 4 and 8 says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, not a negative report. I'm not against the news. I'm not against social media. I'm not against Facebook. I'm not against any of that. What I am against is feeding your mind with garbage and feeding our minds with negative reports and then thinking something good's going to come out of that. Again, this is just me. I don't watch the news. Say why? Because I've got you to tell me. I don't need to watch that. I don't feed my mind with a bunch of negativity. If it bleeds, it leads on the news. If it's bad and fear, that's what makes the news. I don't want to fill my mind with that. I got too much on me to feed my mind extra negative things. I got to stay positive. Positivity is a choice. I'm going to say that again. Positivity is a choice. I will bless the Lord at all times. That's a choice. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Does that make my world all okay? Does that mean everything's spinning just right? No, but I'm making a choice. When I come in here on a Sunday morning, I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to give God praise. When I come in here on a Sunday night, I'm going to worship the Lord. Why? Because I'm making a choice. I choose not to focus on the waves and worry. I'm going to choose to focus on my God and rest on my pillow. God does not want me in a state of anxiety and fear and frustration. Can I get a witness? So you can't dwell on the negative and be positive. You can't put garbage in your mouth and expect to get good stuff out. Can I get a witness? See, we're not built. We're not built, ladies and gentlemen, to carry the weight of problems by ourselves. We are sheep, and sheep are to trust the shepherd. Psalm 23 says this, "He leads me beside the still waters." So whether we are beside the still waters or in the midst of the storm, he's still the shepherd. Some days it's still, and some days it's a problem. It's a storm. See, oxen were built to carry a load. Sheep were not. Oh, you need to hear that. Oxen were built to carry a load. Sheep were not. You say, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says this, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. If you were considered in the Bible an oxen, then you could handle that. But God likens us to sheep. And he says, sheep wasn't made to carry a load. Why? Because as sheep, we are to cast our problems at our shepherd and trust that our shepherd is going to take care of the issues in our life. We are to stay. Our life is really to be like a feather. When people come into my office, many times we get to a certain place and I tell them, I said, look, I want to show you what your spirit is like. Here's your spirit, but because you have all of this on it, can you hand me a songbook, please? Your spirit gets weighted down. And what we have to do is we have to find out what this is and get this layer off of you. Then we have to find out what this is and get this off of you. Because God never wanted you weighted down. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. God don't want you as a sheep weighted down with the world's problems. He wants you to be able to cast that to him and say, God, you know what? I'm going to do my part, but I'm not big enough to take care of this. God, you're going to have to take care of this, so I'm going to put this in your hands. What we should be doing is we should be casting our problems and carrying our pillows. But instead, we're doing the opposite. We're carrying our problems and we're casting our pillows. And the world is saying, what makes you so different than us? I'm going to tell you, there needs to be something different in the church that is attractive to the world, that they don't have it. How come? Because they don't know God. They don't have the peace of God. They don't know the word of God. There ought to be something different in our lives. Come on, give God some praise in this house. See, the truth is that we, the truth is, brothers and sisters, is that the storm is really after your faith. That's what the storm is after. See, the disciples said, teacher, don't you care that we are about to perish? See, storms, what they do, problems, they breed doubt. And storms get into our thinking that, you know what, this is not fair. Now, here's how we think about it, if we want to get honest. We say things like, well, I was the best that I knew how to be, and this is what happens. We say things like, man, I've been giving my tithes for the last 20 years, and this is what I get? We say things like, man, I've been doing my absolute best to be faithful, and now here's what my family is going through. In other words, we're saying, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? God, here's what we say. God, if you loved us and if you really loved me, then I wouldn't be going through this storm. Boy, I wish I had three people here this morning. Come on now. Can I get some honest people in here? God, if you really loved me, the waves wouldn't be beating against my boat. I wouldn't be bailing water. I would be in green pastures. See, just a word of caution here. Don't allow the storms of life to make us act like fools. Because sometimes, if you're not careful, when you get in a storm, you walk away from the very thing God blessed you with. Because you start acting like a fool and you leave that job that God gave you. You leave that person that God gave you. You leave that blessing that God gave you. Because you start thinking, man, if God loved me, I wouldn't have to be going through this kind of stuff. Brothers and sisters, can I just tell you, you're going to go through problems. That's going to happen. You're going to have to decide how you go through it. Am I going to have peace and be on a pillow? Or am I going to look at the waves and just keep myself all worried? Are y'all with me? Okay. And what we should be doing is we should be focusing on what the Lord said to his disciples. He said, let us pass over to the other side. Now, here's the problem. Here it is. When what is around us gets in us. Hey, it's one thing for water to be under your boat. That's where it belongs. It's another thing for water to be in your boat. As long as it's under our boat, we're all right. But when it starts getting in our boat, that's when we start getting worried. See, when we start to allow negativity that is around us to get in us, then that's when we start sinking. When we start allowing the doubt that is around us to get in us, then that's when we start going down. Can I get a witness? When we start allowing the bad reports that we are hearing about family and friends and on the news, instead of it just being around us, we allow it to get in us, then that's when we start living in anxiety and fear. Because we let too much get into our thought life. Here's what Philippians 2 and 5 says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Man, I got to thinking about that. What did Jesus think on? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I can guarantee you this, Jesus wasn't focused on his problems. He wasn't focused on his lack. He wasn't focused on what his neighbor had and what he didn't. He wasn't focused on his problems. He wasn't focused on what people were not doing. He wasn't focused on who he couldn't control. Brothers and sisters, I'm being serious with you this morning. What is the mind of Christ? How do you think God thought? However you think God thought is the way we need to be thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus wasn't thinking about tomorrow. He said, let tomorrow take care of itself. He was walking in faith. He was walking in love. He was walking in peace. That's the kind of mind that we are to have. Are you with me? See, the key is don't allow what is around us to get in us. Instead, let God's word get in us, and then it begins to change the things that are around us. See, I don't believe that people wake up and say, you know what? I think in the next 20 years, I'm going to be an alcoholic. I don't think that. Here's what I do think. I think that people start drinking because what is around them gets in them. because we're looking for a way to cope. We're looking for hope. We're looking for an escape. I don't believe that most people, as they get older, thought, yeah, I knew by 51 I was going to be one cynical dude, man. I was going to be just, I don't think people think that way. But as life happens and as storms happen and as people betray us and as we have problems, things don't go our way, marriages don't turn out right, then what starts happening is we start getting cynical. We start looking at the negative side. People start saying, well, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Are you with me? You say, well, Pastor, how can I be around negativity and problems? And how can I be around all of that and it not get in me? Okay, here's what the scripture says in John 17 and 14. Though we're in the world, we're not of the world. Here's a question I want to ask you. How do fish live in a salty sea and not taste salty? You say, well, Pastor, I just can't live in this world because it's so negative and it not get in me. Here's the question. How do fish live in the ocean and not taste salty? Because God equipped them with gills. And did you know it's just as bad for a fish to get too much salt in its body as it is for a person to have too much salt in theirs? Because if they get too much salt in their body, then it starts shriveling up their cells. And so God designed them with gills that they could take in the oxygen of the water but excrete the salt. God wants you to be in this world but not of this world. He wants you to live in this world, but not let the world live inside of you. He don't want you running to a bottle. He wants you running to Him. He don't want you weighted down with problems. He wants you casting all of your cares. He don't want you looking at the waves. He wants you to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. See, what we do is, we start getting worried about the waves. But what we need to do is this. What we should do is remove the old tapes of worry and replace it with God's truth. Will I put my mind on a problem or will I put my mind on a pillow? Are you with me? The disciples were afraid of the waves. They saw the waves and they became afraid, but Jesus rebuked the wind. Now, the Bible says this, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. What we're doing many times is we're praying about the waves, but Jesus rebuked the wind. Does that make sense? See, most people go after the symptoms. Most people go after the symptoms. It wasn't the water, it was the wind. Brothers and sisters, don't go after the symptoms of your problem. Go after the root cause of your problem. Behind every behavior, there is a belief. Behind every behavior, there is a belief. And when I start seeing myself getting depressed, or if I start feeling myself getting down, the first thing I start is checking my thinking. Because thoughts determine feelings, and feelings determine actions. I'm going to say that again. Thoughts determine feelings, and feelings determine actions. So when you don't feel like doing it, what have you been thinking? Because your thoughts determine your feelings, and your feelings determine your actions. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And normally when I start seeing myself or feeling myself coming down, it's because I'm focused on what I don't have instead of what I do have. I start focusing on who's got this and I don't have it. I start focusing on the waves instead of the author and the finisher of my faith. Do I have anybody else in here this morning that you're with me? Does this make sense? And so what happens is you go after the root cause. You got to go back to your thinking. Jesus went to the cause of the storm and he rebuked the wind. And when he did, the scripture says this, that it went from a great storm to a great calm. So here's my question. Did the disciples really in their hearts believe that they were going to drown with Jesus in the middle of that storm? Did they really believe that? When we say it, it's almost like, really? And yet, brothers and sisters, we talk about the people in the Bible as though we're really much better than them. But the fact of the matter is, we're just like them. We're just like them. And the question that I have for us today is, do you really think that your Heavenly Father is going to allow you to drown in the middle of this storm? I don't know. I can't prove this, but here's just my thoughts. Take it for what it's worth. I believe that this storm was really a teaching point. I can be wrong, but I think what the Lord really wanted is I think he wanted his disciples to stand up and use their faith and say, "Peace, be still." Because they woke him up, and this is what he says. He says, "How is it that you are so fearful and that you have so little faith?" So little faith, so fearful. I see Christians and even myself, I've seen as things happen, we become fearful. How's this going to turn out? How's this going to end up? What's going to happen about this? And I'm concerned about our mental health. I want to say this as kindly and as compassionately as I know how. But it breaks my heart when I hear of Christians taking their life. And brothers and sisters, according to the word of the Lord, it's not going to get better and better. According to the scripture, it's going to wax worse and worse. And if we're not careful, everything that's going on around us can get in us. And if it gets in us, then that's when we start being so fearful and we lose our faith. Instead of sleeping on a problem, instead of sleeping on a pillow, all we can think about is our problem. And we toss and we turn and we can't get sleep because of what we're focused on. Is that all right? See, fear has torment. It will torment you. What about this and what about that? And the enemy is robbing us, brothers and sisters, of our pillows. Here's the question. How can Jesus be on a pillow when I have a problem? Here's how. Because Jesus was full of faith. He was full of faith. See, the problem of the storm never affected his faith. That's why he could sleep on a pillow. I'm asking you a question this morning. You say, "Well, Brother Nealon, you just don't understand my situation." Here's what the scripture says. The scripture says that, here's the paraphrase. "Yeah, yours may be a little different, but know ye not that we all suffer the same thing?" We're all going through it. Families in this church are going through it. We've got people in the hospital. I'm doing a funeral at 10 o'clock Monday morning for Fran Fontenot, just lost her 20-year-old daughter. Seems like everywhere you look, people are suffering pain, problems, health issues. Got three different people in the hospital. And you know what? It doesn't do me as a shepherd any good to focus on my problems and the problems going on, because I can't help lift you up if I'm right down with you. So you had to ask yourself, am I going to live my life focusing on my problems? Am I going to live my life resting on a pillow? Say, Pastor, how can I do that? I want to give you one more scripture, and you can stand this morning. Here's the scripture that I want to give you. It's Isaiah 26 and 3. Look up at the screen if you would. I want you to read this with me. You ready? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Three key words right there. Peace, mind, trust. If I want peace, I have to keep my mind stayed on him. And I can do that if I have trust, knowing that whether he leads me beside the still waters or whether I'm in a storm, he's still my shepherd. I'm having to think about where I want to go. Do I want to let this world bring me down? Or am I going to keep my mind stayed upon him? It's a choice. Positivity is a choice. It's a choice. You say, I can't do that. It's not that you can't do that. It's that you haven't trained yourself to do that. Are y'all with me? See, I got to looking, and the Lord, before this happened, the Lord was ministering to people. He was ministering to people. He was teaching the people. And the Lord expended all of his energy, because when you read, it says that they took him as he was. Apparently, the Lord was exhausted. He was exhausted. And so it's almost like they almost just lifted him up as he was, exhausted from teaching hours and hours, and just placed him in the boat. And I got to thinking, here is Jesus exhausted from ministering to the people so he could sleep on a pillow. And they were exhausted because all they could focus on was their problem. One is worried, one is asleep. One had just given out to the people and ministered to the people, and the other, all their energy went to fighting a losing battle. And so you and I have to decide, who are we going to identify with? Are we going to be the disciple? Are we going to keep our mind stayed up on Jesus? Would you bow your head? I want to pray over you. Lord, I thank you for your word. For it is a lamp unto my feet, it is a light unto my pathway. And God, I want my faith to be stronger than my fears. I want my trust in you to be bigger than my troubles. I'm going to cast all of my cares upon you because you care for me. Father, I want to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And to know that whether I'm in a storm or whether I'm in green pastures, the Lord is my shepherd. Father, help me to learn to use my own faith, to stand up in my own storm and not look at it with fear, but to look at it with faith and to be able to rebuke the wind, everything that is around me, swirling, moving. And yet inside, there is a peace that will surpass human knowledge and understanding. I pray, Lord, for the mental health of our church. God, we may not have all the answers today. I know I don't. We may not know how. We may not know what. We may not know when. But we can depend that you are with us. And you said you would never leave us. And you would never forsake us. And so God, we know we're not going to drown in the middle, because your word said, let us go to the other side. Thank you that you're going to bring us through. We can trust in that. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. Now here's what I want you to do. If you need to go, I understand. But if this message resonated with you and you're facing a problem in your health, a problem in your life, problems with friends, a problem in a marriage, it doesn't matter, whatever it may be. I just want you to step out of your pew and I want you to come up to the front and I just want to be able to lay hands on you and just speak over your life, because God don't want you walking out of here heavy laden and burdened with the cares of this life. He wants you to come and cast it all on Him and looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. From the balcony to the first floor, from the front to the back, as they sing, I want you to just step out from where you are and say, Lord, here I am. I got to get refocused. Got to get recentered, Lord.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.